"You'll want to go see your mother now," said the Covenant Man, when Tim had finished puking and was sitting beside the dying campfire with his head down and his hair hanging in his eyes. "Good son that you are. But I have something you may want. One more minute. It'll make no difference to Nell Kells. She is as she is."
"Don't call her so," Tim spat.
"How can I not? Is she not wed? Marry in haste, repent at leisure, the old folken say."
The Covenant Man squatted once more in front of his heaped gunna, his cloak billowing around him like the wings of an awful bird.
"They also say, what slipped cannot be unslipped, and they say true. An amusing concept called divorce exists on some levels of the tower, but not in our charming little corner of Midworld. Now, let me see. It's here somewhere."
"I don't understand why Square Peter and Slow Ernie didn't find him," Tim said dully. He felt deflated, empty. Some emotion still pulsed deep in his heart, but he didn't know what it was. "This is their plot, their stake. They've been cutting ever since Cosington was well enough to work again."
"Aye, they cut the iron, but not here. They've plenty of other stubs. They've left this one fallow for a bit. Does thee not know why?"
Tim supposed he did. Square Peter and Slow Ernie were good and kindly, but not the bravest men ever to log the iron, which was why they didn't go much deeper into the forest than this. "They've been waiting for the Poogie to move on, I wot."
"It's a wise child," the Covenant Man said approvingly. "He wots well. And how does thee think thy step of felt, knowing yon tree worm might move on at any time and those two come back? Come back and find his crime, unless he screws up enough gut to come himself and move the body deeper into the woods."
The new emotion in Tim's heart was pulsing more strongly now. He was glad. Anything was better than the helpless terror he felt for his mother. "I hope he feels bad. I hope he can't sleep." And then, with dawning understanding, "It's why he went back to the drink."
"A wise child indeed, wise beyond his... Ah, here it is."
The Covenant Man turned toward Tim, who was now untying Bitsy and preparing to mount up. He approached the boy, holding something beneath his cloak.
"He did it on impulse, sure. And afterwards he must have been in a panic. Why else would he concoct such a ridiculous story? The other woodsmen doubt it, of that you may be sure. He built a fire and leaned into it as far as he dared and for as long as he could take it, scorching his clothes and blistering his skin. I know, because I built my fire on the bones of his. But first, he threw his dead pard's gunna across yon stream, as far into the woods as his strength would allow. Did it with your da's blood not yet dry on his hands, I warrant. I waded across and found it, most of it's useless mickle, but I saved thee one thing. It was rusty, but my pumice stone and honing bar have cleaned it up very well."
From beneath his cloak, he produced Big Ross's hand axe. Its freshly sharpened edge glittered. Tim, now astride Bitsy, took it, brought it to his lips, and kissed the cold steel. Then he shoved the handle into his belt, blade turned out from his body, just as Big Ross had taught him once upon a by.
"I see you wear a rhodite double around your neck. Was it your da's?"
Mounted, Tim was almost eye to eye with the Covenant Man. "It was in that murdering bastard's trunk."
"You have his coin. Now you have his axe as well. Where will you put it, I wonder, if Ka offers you the chance?"
"In his head." The emotion, pure rage, had broken free of his heart like a bird with its wings on fire. "Back or front, either will do me fine."
"Admirable. I like a boy with a plan. Go with all the gods you know, and the man Jesus for good measure."
Then, having wound the boy to his fullest stop, he turned to build up his fire.
"I may bide along the iron for another night or two. I find tree strangely interesting, this wide earth. Watch for the green sig, my boy. She glows, so she does."
Tim made no reply, but the Covenant Man felt sure he had heard. Once they were wound to the fullest stop, they always did.